Council will convene at 6:37 PM and the clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi?
Here.
Mr. DeLuise? Mr. Foley?
Here.
Mr. Gephardt?
Here.
Mr. Kirby?
Here.
Mr. Lattiser?
Here.
Mr. Muto?
Here.
Mr. Napa? Mr. Ricks? Nine present.
All right, if Councilman Muto will please lead us in the salute to the flag.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming? Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming? And the rocket's red glare, the bomb bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
All right, first up is announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events. Does anyone have anything for this? Councilman Napa?
Thank you, Councilman. Just an announcement and a congratulatory announcement, I suppose. Just wanted to recognize 988, the Suicide and Crisis Hotline. They are a public outreach point of contact that has been working sort of loosely with the Warwick Police, who has been their very strong supporter, and I wanted to recognize and congratulate the police department for kind of pushing forward on that. I believe someone is here from 988 to speak at public comment tonight, and I just wanted to bring that to the public's attention that our WPD is doing an excellent job with their outreach, and congratulate them and commend them for their efforts, and that's an important aspect of life to be involved in and taking care of people's mental health and their own mental health, too.
Thank you, Councilman Napa. Councilman Gephardt?
Thank you, Council President. I wanted to give a shout out both to Warwick Pal and to the city. Last weekend, Warwick Pal kicked off its first ever season of flag football. We had incredible interest. The program is completely full. The games are being played on Sundays at Belmont Street, which is a beautiful field complex over off Elmwood Ave in Councilman Ricks's ward. The fields are in incredible condition. The lines were all done. Everything was well appointed and well set up, and we were very appreciative of that as an organization. And most importantly of all, the kids are having a tremendous amount of fun. So kudos to the Warwick Pal organization and to the city for making that happen. Thank you.
All right, next up is executive communications. We have none. Moving on to acceptance of minutes from the council meeting. It does not look like there's anything lined up for that one. Next up is public comment, Rule 41. After general communications and prior to the consent calendar at the last regularly scheduled meeting of the city council each month, there shall be a period of time not to exceed 30 minutes during which citizens may comment about Warwick city government issues, subject to the following stipulations. The total period of time for public comment shall not exceed 30 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to participate. Each citizen signed up and present shall have not to exceed 5 minutes to speak. Provided, however, that if more than six citizens are signed up and present, the 30 minutes will be split evenly among speakers. Time shall not be transferable among speakers. The topics for comment shall be issues directly affecting city government. City council members will not respond to questions during the public comment period, and the public comment period session will terminate at the expiration of the earlier of all speakers, concluding their allotted time or 30 minutes. Waiver of this provision requires unanimous vote of the council. And I know we did this after the hearings last time, but because there were multiple speakers who weren't able to speak because we did that, I wanted to do this first. So first up, we have Darlene Necco.
Hello, Darlene Netco, Ward 7. I will also be speaking during the intergovernmental committee meeting. I'm speaking about the proposed resolution to change the makeup of the school committee to have 9 members, 3 from each district. Right now we have 5 members, 1 from each district, and 2 members at large. And as I said last time, the 2 at-large positions are difficult positions for people to run for because, in effect, they are actually running like a mayoral campaign because it's citywide. So that is a very difficult campaign to run. And perhaps the makeup on the school committee could change in that regard, but I think having 9 is too many, and I think rushing into anything right now is ill-advised. I think last time the mayor proposed having a study commission to take a look at maybe what other districts around the state or the country do regarding their school committees and find a better way than having 9, 3 from each district. It's difficult sometimes to find 1 from a district to run or 2 from a district. You want to have some kind of competition in a campaign to make sure all of the applicants for the position are putting their best foot forward and not just sneaking in unopposed. Also, I just want to point out that the City Council last year created a budget commission. That budget commission spent a whole year scrutinizing the school department's budget and budgetary practices. They approved every expenditure except for 1 online platform called Edpuzzle worth $27,000. They made 1 recommendation that the city pay for the student assistance counselor through opioid funding. And other than that, they approved every other expenditure. So after all of that rigmarole, they basically showed the school committee was spending what it should be spending. Furthermore, regarding the fiscal year 26 budget, the budget commission found that the schools actually were underfunded by $2.1 million. So if there is a problem, you think, with the school committee and its current makeup, I think more study is warranted. I think the schools already had a year's worth of scrutiny. And at this point, the city maybe should focus on the city side and put the finagling with the schools off for a later date. Thank you.
All right, next up, and I apologize, I definitely can't pronounce your last name properly, Rosie. Just make sure you state your full name for us, please, once you start.
Will do. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for allowing me to speak. My name is Rosie Frimmer. I am with Horizon Healthcare Partners. I am also a combat veteran, 2 times to Iraq, 1 time to Afghanistan. So thank you for letting me share some information regarding 988, which is a suicide crisis hotline. It was made known to us that there have been over 50 attempts in this city alone, which is very high. And what we want to do as a community is help raise awareness, whether that be through creating videos with Horizon Healthcare Partners of the first responders within the community showing their support of 988 and the community members. We do have a strong relationship with Warwick PD, They do have CIT officers, which is crisis intervention training officers, which means that they receive 40-hour training on mental and behavioral health calls. So if someone is having a crisis and a police officer responds and they are CIT certified, they have that extra training and they know to take extra precautions, care, and comfort when responding to the person so that they come at a different angle versus coming head on as a police officer. They take that hat off for a moment. They're a human, so it's human to human contact. 988 is a 24/7 phone line. It's nationwide, it's free, it's anonymous, it's all ages. My son has utilized that number. He has called when he had a school bully. I know many veterans, including myself, that have called 988 as well to help when we have that random PTSD moment at like 3 a.m. where you just don't know what else to do. And so what we try to tell people is 988 is not just for people who are suicidal or in a crisis. It's for anyone who has food insecurity. They are sad, they're lonely, they're of aging population, and they don't have any family around. They can call 988 and talk to someone so they're never alone. And what we're trying to also do down the line is develop a memorandum of understanding between the call center and the local dispatch center so that we can strengthen and streamline communications to get people the proper resources that they need to ensure that they get to a better self. Thank you.
And Joelle Tillinghast.
Hello. I'm Joelle Tillinghast. I am the 988 Community Network Coordinator. So I'm here with Rosie. I do community outreach for 988. So we do a lot of presentations, tabling, things of that sort. Prior to outreach, I answered the Suicide Lifeline for about 4 years before I started doing outreach. So we do like to let everyone know that it is 24/7. There's always a clinical supervisor on staff, the crisis counselors. The call center has come a long way, so the crisis counselors have an extensive onboarding and training process that they go through. So they're well-equipped to answer all the calls that come in, and there's been more and more staff joining the call center as well. If anyone is interested in taking a tour of the call center, which is right next door to BH Link, if you're familiar, is the crisis center, you can reach out to myself or Rosie as well. We can get that set up for you guys to have a tour of the call center just to see how it works and the process that everyone goes through when they call. And the call center also has a 98 or 99 call answer rate? 99% answer rate in the country. So that's all I have. Is that? Yeah, I think we're number one.
Thank you.
Thank you. And lastly, Miles Braun.
Hello, everybody. My name is Miles Braun Husband, and I've spoken about this numerous times at the State House. I would just like to say that this 988 is very near and dear to me, as I have family and myself that deal with mental health issues. It is important that this is in the forefront of our American democracy. First off, for people that have, like I said, mental problems, that can't get help, that think they're alone, that have drug or alcohol problems, that have suicide issues, and they're alone. They need to be heard by this phone. So please, I urge you to look at this and to pass this. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And because we already have the stenographer here, unless there's any objection, we're going to jump to the two matters we have. Let's see. First up is PCO 15-26, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinances of the City of Warwick, Cobia Enterprises, LLC, applicant 265 and 255 Centerville Road, Assessor's Plat 246, lots 260 and 261. So, Councilman Ricks, this is Public Properties.
Recommend move to the floor for public hearing.
So, for action, Councilman Ricks.
Move to open public hearing.
Seconded by Councilman Foley. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor? All opposed? Any abstentions? All right. So public hearing stands open. Petitioner, if you want to lead off.
Good evening, Mr. President and honorable members of the Warwick City Council. For the record, Attorney K. Joseph Scacci representing the applicant this evening with my co-counsel, Danielle Dufault from Adler, Pollock & Sheehan, who will be doing the presentation tonight. I just would like to point out that this is a request for a zone change that would allow a convenience store gas station on Route 117 at the 11795 interchange. This project has extensive meetings with the planning department, and we received a unanimous approval from the planning board, and we have a positive recommendation for a zone change. I will turn it over to Danielle, who will continue the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Council President, City Council members, thank you for this evening. As Joe said, Attorney Danielle Dufault from Adler, Pollock & Sheehan on behalf of the applicant, Colbia Enterprises, LLC. As you noted, the address that this is applicable to is 255, 265, and 281 Centerville Road. Note that the zone change is specific to only 255 and 265, those underlying lots. This is a major land development project, as Attorney Scacci pointed out, with Unified Development Review. We were before the planning board for master plan approval, which we received unanimous approval for master plan, conditional grant of the variances requested. I believe those are listed in the petition for zone change, and a positive advisory recommendation from the planning board. Just wanted to point out, and I'll keep it very brief, that the zone change here is appropriate. The adjacent lot that currently has a medical office building constructed on it, while that is zoned office currently, the subsequent six lots adjacent to the east on Centerville Road are currently zoned general business. Also, it is consistent with the comprehensive plan, as the comprehensive plan and future land use map designate this corridor of Centerville Road as commercial uses, subject to applicable zoning ordinances. And note that this is also a much less intense use than would be allowed under the current zoning designation. With that, I can answer any questions you may have. We have our experts and can go into more specifics if necessary, and I'll field any questions you might have.
So I do have questions, but I want to make sure we can have the public speak if there's anyone who wishes to. So is there anyone here who wishes to speak against the project? Pardon?
I appreciate the opportunity to share my concerns.
Just make sure you state your name, please.
My name is Sally Gruber, G-R-U-B-E-R. I live close to the areas that are being discussed. And I'd like you to just take a minute and imagine what is possible for that land. Just imagine what could be possible, something that would complement Warwick, something that would enhance our state. So when somebody, for the first time, they've never been to Rhode Island, they've never been to Warwick, maybe they exit off of 95, and this is what they see. So let's all imagine what is possible. What can be possible for that piece of land? I've lived in Rhode Island for 23 years, and maybe many of you have lived here all your life. I've lived in 5 states altogether. And I just suggest that all Rhode Island residents never take this state for granted. It's an extremely special state. And I am unsettled about having this structure built on this land. I do live close. Also, very close to this land is the Appanoag region. We're right now in a very, very charming historic building. And people have put a lot of thought into the Appanoag area, a lot of work, a lot of love. It has like a historic charm to it. And I'm very concerned about having a buildings that you could see anywhere in the United States. Also, in addition to this, I feel a strong need to be concerned about a potential future brownfield. How many of us throughout our life have seen abandoned gas stations? They're everywhere. And no, once a gas station, not necessarily always a gas station, but it takes a lot of work once a gas station has been established in a piece of land. It takes a lot of work to undo it. There are many success stories, but it takes a lot of work and a lot of community cooperation once the land is damaged by a petroleum brownfield. And I meant to make a flashcard, but just B for brownfield. It's something to think about. It's something to think about that once you do build a gas station, you have to think about the future also. Also, if you go north, south, west, or east of the area, you'll find a gas station. It seems we're living in a culture where a need for something, a purpose for something, is not nearly as important as just, and I don't mean to be impolite, but just a need to make some money. Is there a purpose? Is there a need for the citizens? I feel that that's very important. And I am deeply concerned about this structure being built. I love the state of Rhode Island. It's done so much for me personally. And I feel that we should hold on to the essence of what makes Rhode Island such a special, beautiful state. Thank you very much for listening to my comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak against this project?
My name is Paul Blakesley. I live on Centerville Road. This is another zoning change for Centerville Road. I've lived on Centerville Road my whole life, and I've seen the changes come in little bits of spot zoning where somebody sells a house to a developer who wants to make it into an office. And so the zoning board would make a little spot zone for that office. And that progressed for a number of years until finally one administration got it right and did a zoning change on Centerville Road for offices. And that seemed to work. There are a number of offices built along Centerville Road, and the development was logical and under control. And then recently, I don't know if it was all of these members of the board that heard the last zoning change on Centerville Road, which was to change it from office to general business. And this was done for one specific development that wanted to do a car wash. And a car wash isn't really allowed in a general business zone, but it needed a special permit, which all seemed to be part of the deal. And today, you're being asked to make another zone change, not contiguous with Appanog and its general business zone, or the new extension of that for the car wash. This is separate altogether. Two lots. This is spot zoning again, which I was brought up to believe is against the law. But here we are. Two lots that a developer wants to turn into a, a gas station. And I guess you can understand why a developer would like to do a gas station there, because it's right adjacent to Route 95, and people zooming through the state of Rhode Island can stop and do their job right here in Warwick and hop back on the highway and go. This doesn't strike me as something that the city of Warwick would be looking to promote. And the other thing, and there's no plans here in front of us to even talk about this, I assume that all you members have studied this proposal very carefully and looked at the traffic condition. This location is right at the end of the Jersey barrier, separating the two lanes on Route 95. And for cars coming from the south, heading north on Route 95, have to exit and then do a U-turn or make a left turn across two lanes of traffic to get into this gas station. What you're going to end up with here is, if you continue to make these kinds of zoning decisions, you're going to end up with something that's like Route 3 on Cohasset Avenue. You're well on the way, and this one will lock it in. It's ridiculous, and every one of you know it's ridiculous. There's no reason for this kind of development on Centerville Road. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak against this project? Is there anyone who wants to speak in favor of this project? Is there anyone who wishes to speak in favor of this project? Is there anyone who wishes to speak in favor of this project? Is there anyone in general who wishes to speak on this? Is there anyone who wishes to speak on this in general? Is there anyone in general who wishes to speak on this? All right, seeing none, Councilman Ricks.
Move to close public hearing.
Seconded by Councilman Foley. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Pardon me, that was premature.
All right, everyone in favor? So, yeah, you gotta say it, guys. We got a stenographer here and everything.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? All right, so the public hearing is now closed. I certainly have questions. This is in my ward. So the traffic situation is complicated, to put it mildly, because I know from what I saw, there is a requirement to go to the DOT to get a PAP. So can someone either from the applicant side or from the city explain what that is for everyone?
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, a PAP is a physical alteration permit. It was one of the requirements that was placed on the approval from the planning board and planning department as well. So this project would, before it would ever be issued a certificate of occupancy, would have to go make a traffic study, submit it to the Department of Transportation for review, and ultimately approval to make sure that it is traffic worthy and safe. To that end, we have proposed working with the planning department some mitigating factors, right in, right out, working with the traffic signal there as well. So it is an approval that we would continue to seek if we are successful here this evening tonight.
And would this project be coming back before the council at any point?
Well, I believe you have second passage. After that, if we meet the conditions, typically we will go back to the planning department, and the planning department will issue the final approval. But we have this is first passage. Following month from now or two, we'd have a second passage whenever the council so desired.
All right. After the planning board approval, assuming it goes first and second passage.
That would be it. That would be the completion.
All right. Because the reason I ask is because the traffic situation is my main concern, because as the planning board noted, that particular portion of Sunnyvale Road is already not great. In fact, I mean, it's already a fact that Sunnyvale Road in general is not great, but we're working with what we got. And as already noted, this is less intensive use than what it could be without a zone change. So we got that going for us.
And I'd also point out, as the gentleman said earlier, we are right at the, at the footprint here of the exit on and off ramp. So there'll be very little traffic. The 95 traffic would stop, get off, and then hopefully get back on. The rest of the traffic would be convenience traffic serviced by people who already live in Warwick or who are already driving back and forth on Centerville Road.
And is there any limitation to what the state could end up issuing for the PAP? Like, could they require the median be extended?
There's a lot of avenues open to the state. It is review. We have a traffic expert here who'd be happy to answer any questions, but we don't know until we actually submit. We'll do whatever DOT requires us to do. If we don't do it, we don't get approval, we don't build a gas station. So we'll work with the professionals, the DOT. This is a state road, and as everyone knows, it's 117. It's under the care, custody, and control of the Department of Transportation, and we will follow those rules and regulations.
All right, so
if we're not compliant, this project will never be built.
Understood. And I'll hold off on further questions for now because I know Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. One of the members of the public brought up a concern that I suppose I had it in the back of my mind, but wanted to make sure to articulate it. When it comes to a gas station being constructed with underground tanks, I take it, are the standards different for those underground tanks being installed today from some of these sites that have been problematic where tanks were installed many years ago?
Councilman Ricks, thank you very much for that question. That's a very valid question. The answer is yes. They are dramatically different. They are built with state-of-the-art alarm systems. They are double-walled. And they're typically fiberglass, so they don't rust as well. There are warning systems and mechanisms that happen, and they are monitored regularly by DEM. So the gas station built today in 2017 is vastly different than gas stations that were built even 10 or 15 years ago. So we're using best practices, state-of-the-art equipment and monitoring systems as well. Not to mention that these underground tanks have to be regulated and approved by EPA, that's the federal agency, and DOT or DEM, the state agency as well. So there's a double jurisdictional requirement, and we'll use the best practices available. I will point out that my client has operated, I don't even want to know the number, but I'll venture to say well over a dozen gas stations in the state of Rhode Island. And to the best of my knowledge, there's never, ever been one leak or problem. And there's not been any of their properties that they have caused to become a brownfield.
And between the state and federal jurisdiction, I take it that there would be pretty severe consequences if there was some sort of a brownfield leak type situation?
It would be catastrophic. It would be, we obviously have insurance for that, but it would be very dramatic. It would be something we'd have to comply with. There'd be penalties. There would be mitigation. There would be restrictions placed on it. And there would be a monitored cleanup if that were ever the case, God forbid.
Thank you. And then a question on the, let's see. I suppose, on the location itself. So
I know there was an allegation with spot zoning, and respectfully, that's not a determination that we make. And it's really not a determination that this honorable council makes. That's a determination that the planning department makes and the planning board. They are the guardians of the City of Warwick's comprehensive use plan and the future use plan. I can tell you, I don't want to speak for the planning department or the planning board, but I can tell you that this has been exhaustively reviewed. If they felt it was spot zoning, they would not have recommended approval to the planning board. The planning board would not have approved it, and it would not be before you with a positive recommendation. So those are the people. I mean, I could have hired a bunch of experts to say it's not spot zoning, but the reality is when these cases are under review and they're looked at in the court system, it is the local community that is the one that is given the most amount of weight to determine what's spot zoning in their community. Hence, we're looking at this project, we're looking at it in Warwick on 117, and looking at these set of facts. Our map is different than the City of Cranston or the City of West Warwick, and that may be a whole different analysis and a whole different conclusion, but that is made by the respective jurisdiction of the community where the applicant is making the request. Here, it's the City of Warwick's Planning Department and the City of Warwick's Planning Board, and it's not easy to get a unanimous approval for anything, but we got a unanimous approval by the Planning Board of Warwick, and we have had two positive recommendations from planning, one to the Planning Board and one to the City Council as well. So we feel very confident, respectfully, from the experts, the people who are charged with this, the people who do this for a living every day, the people who have the degrees, that this is not spot zoning.
Thank you. And when I take a look at the particular location myself, it being an area that I'm familiar with. In fact, my very first job when I was 14 was over at the Summit office complex directly across the street. And for the last 7 or so years, my own office has been just down to the street, also on Centerville Road. So it's an area that I'm quite familiar with. And thinking about it in that context, as well as the context of here in Warwick, there are often gas stations along roads such as this, and gas stations that are often not far from even residential areas. And I think we're all familiar with gas stations in general. This does not strike me as anything that is particularly out of the ordinary to have a gas station in a location such as this. So that's my, I'll try to keep it brief, comment. Thank you.
Councilman Nepa.
Thank you, Council President. Through the President to the Speaker, has there been any thought or consideration to what vendors or services that will be housed inside the Seasons Market once that is done, or you're not at that point yet?
It's not yet to be determined, but typically it might be a coffee shop, typically. It might just be a convenience store. Okay. I don't know the exact answer. It's really to be determined at this point, but it's nothing unusual that you wouldn't find or see in any of the gas station in Rhode Island or any of the convenience store in Rhode Island.
Thank you. And through the President, if I could just ask a question to the Planning Department, Director Kravitz, if you could just speak on how this proposal fits into the comprehensive plan and how the Planning Department sees this fitting in and to make their favorable recommendation that you did.
Tom Kravitz, City Planning Director. This spot at Centerville Road in its location to the highway has a number of commercial uses and office uses. There is GB zoning one parcel over in between these two, and then it's a strip of general business. So the Planning Board just felt as though it wasn't egregiously inconsistent with what you would expect to find in a high traffic area off a highway to have a gas station. Juliet.
Councilman Gebhardt.
Thank you, Council President. I think Council President touched on the things that we are likely to hear obviously we have light attendance here tonight from the public to speak about this, but as is often the case, and as was the case with the last approved development, we sort of hear about it after the fact, right? So,
well, I just want to, I appreciate that and I respect that, but every one of the hearings have been advertised, every one of them have been noticed, and all of the stuff has been in the local newspaper. So we've also sent notices to everybody in accordance with the law. So I understand, like, after the project gets built, people come forward and they say, how did this happen? Like it's some kind of a secret, but these people are here, and there were people at the planning board as well. And now, yeah. Now we have online forums, whether it's Facebook or neighborhood or next door, or the people are very much aware, respectfully, of what happens at the city council. I mean, I'm an old man. I've been doing this for a long time. I remember used to come here and there was no one here and no one knew what was going on. Now you have advocates, and I think it's a good thing, public access advocates who are well aware of what happens at city government. That's a good thing.
I would tend to agree. So were you present at the planning board
yes,
hearings along the way?
Mm-hmm.
Did you get some resident feedback throughout the process?
Just like here, one or two. That was it. Just
okay.
One or two.
Okay. Well, I'm hoping that subsequent to this hearing, if approved, before we get to a second hearing, that hopefully the word does get out so we can address any concerns that may exist in the community. I know that there was certainly some, and I've relayed this to folks on your team that once the car wash project hit its approval and we started to see, changes to the traffic pattern there and new lights and new signals and new timing, that we certainly heard about it. So certainly want to be cognizant of that and make sure the community is prepared for a change. In terms of traffic, could we hear from your expert just
certainly.
In terms of the general
absolutely.
Overview of the traffic plan?
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the council. For the record, my name is John Shevlin, employed by Park Corporation in Lincoln, Rhode Island. As far as the traffic goes, we did a pretty extensive study. We got a lot of data collection along the corridor at a lot of the intersections. We looked at safety issues and capacity issues. This type of development's not a big trip generator. Gas stations, coffee shops, a lot of that traffic is already in the traffic stream. A lot of people don't go out of their way in order to go to a destination like this. Usually they're driving to work or driving home, they stop by. So it's not going to add a lot of traffic that's going to impact any of the traffic capacity at any intersections. And I don't think it's going to impact the traffic safety. We do have some recommendations for improving the traffic there. We are looking to go ahead and put in a no U-turn sign at the end of the island that's just west of where our eastern driveway is going to be. That probably should have been put in place after they put the roundabouts in, so people do not make that U-turn. They use the roundabout. We're also going to put in signs in there for no left turns into the site. So it's going to be, as mentioned before, right turn in, right turn out from the site. So you won't have any left turn traffic going in there. We're also going to extend the island, the physical islands out there, with some striping in order to go ahead and make sure people know they can't take the left turn. And then obviously we'll have signage for people coming in and out of the site as well. So capacity issues as far as going ahead in the intersection we analyze, there's been minor delays. I think the worst increase is like a second and a half as far as the amount of delays that you have at signalized intersections. And then the other component that we looked at was the safety. And in the corridor that we did, which is almost three quarters a mile over 3 years, there was approximately 102 crashes. In this area, there was three that occurred there, but there were a lot of the accidents that were occurring were rear-end accidents. I think 54-55% of the crash were rear-end, which is usually what occurs at signalized intersections of people stopping and not paying attention as far as the car in front of them. So we didn't see any major patterns in any one area that had a history of crashes. So we don't see the safety being having any additional concerns here because of the right turn in, right turn out, and we're not going to have a lot of traffic stream that's going to be crossing over the double lanes to get into the traffic stream or get into the site.
Okay. Thank you for that. couple questions on the plan. So it looks like there is a egress, maybe ingress to Orchard in addition to Centerville?
No, right now there's the only two driveways we're going to have is going to be coming out to Centerville. That's in our study.
That's been eliminated.
Yeah. Got it. Noted.
So just for the record, Councillor Gephardt was pointing out the cross driveway that had connected to 255, 265, and 281 Centerville Road. There was a connecting driveway that's since been eliminated. And what Mr. Shevlin was addressing and explaining in response to Councillor Gephardt's questions were these are measures that the applicant has taken since getting the feedback and approval from the planning board at the master plan level. We were tasked by the planning board to make it very clear that no left turns into the station were allowed. And that was after already agreeing during meetings with the planning department that this is a right in, right out only, that there's no left turns allowed into the station and there's no left turns out of the station. So since the approval from master plan and the planning board and part of our DOT comments where we'll be vetted is what Mr. Shevlin was addressing. We are proposing to add a no U-turn sign in the island, a no left-hand turn sign in the island. We're also proposing to expand the existing island with striping versus an actual island to protect the neighbor across the street, their ability, Summit's ability to take left-hand turns out of their building, but preserving their right and trying to make it safer. So this is all the actions that we've taken since receiving planning board approval at the master plan level. So I just wanted to point that out. We still have, like Attorney Shikarchi pointed out, we have vetting through the DOT process. We have a lot of vetting through the DEM process. So this is, and we have to receive all of those state approvals. This is a condition of the master plan approval by the planning board. In order to even submit for our preliminary plan, we have to have received our state approvals. So this will be thoroughly vetted by state departments that have jurisdiction over this project and again by the planning board.
Thank you for that. The we don't have to get too far into this because I'm sure in your state planning process you're going to go through this, but it is visible from an overhead view that there's some amount of wetland or pond maybe to the north of the property. I don't know if you could speak basically to any mitigating circumstances there.
Sure. So this property is subject to, there is wetlands further north on the property. All of that and anything, any limit of disturbance, anything that can be done to existing vegetation and future vegetation is under the jurisdiction of the DEM. We've met with DEM several times, planning to submit an application for them. To them, and so that will all be vetted through a wetlands permit.
Thank you for that. And then I do see that there is some amount of relief in this petition, potentially signage. Is it just signage and the special use permit?
Yeah, so there was four, I believe, requests of relief. One was for the location and the height of the freestanding ID sign. The location is due to, it needed to be moved out of this project. This property has many constraints. And we needed to move the ID sign. There is subject to a 100-foot Rhode Island Energy easement that spans across mostly the 265 Centerville Road parcel, but it also encumbers part of the 255. So we needed to move that out of the easement. That's been moved, and that was part of the discussion during the planning board master plan approval. That's been moved out of the over into the middle, the center island. We also received a variance for the height of the sign, and as we explained to the planning board, and it was approved, that that specific type of sign, the height is the height it is because the pylons that hold the sign need to be high enough to preserve the sight line for people, for vehicles exiting the site. So to be able to see the traffic coming west on Centerville Road and you're pulling into the driveway, pulling out of the driveway, you need to be able to see. That's why the sign is lifted higher up. And we received a variance on that. And there was two other variances that were noted in the petition that were granted conditional approval under UDR by the planning board as well.
Last question would be, is the petitioner planning to sell gasoline for less than $4.40 a gallon?
That would benefit me too. I understand, and very relevant question, and
That's all I have. Thank you for answering my question.
Councilor Gephardt, if I could just to follow up on a question that you asked as part of your original questions about people that came out during the planning board meeting. We did have a couple of interested parties, not necessarily abutters. I will say there was one gentleman that received notice as abutter. We met with that gentleman after the planning board, our portion of the planning board was concluded, and discussed with him. I think his issue was mostly with the sign. The IDC, we explained to him why. Both Attorney Shikarchi and myself gave him our contact information. I don't necessarily see him here tonight, but we haven't received any additional communication from him. So we've addressed as many of the comments or feedback as we can, as they've been given to us during this process.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. This question is actually for you. So I recall when the car wash was before us and the concerns that people had regarding traffic, additional traffic problems, congestion, etc. Have you received any calls or complaints regarding the traffic situation there since the car wash has been in place?
No. I have some other thoughts about the traffic, though, that I'll wait on because okay. I don't want to derail you. But no, I have not received anything about the car wash.
Okay. Neither have I, for that matter. Thank you.
Councilman DeLuise.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't have any questions. I just like to make a general comment. Over the years, when I was on the zoning board, we've approved projects such as this, and the developers that are involved, they build very streamlined, clean-looking facilities. They're bright. They're well-lit up. 24 hours a day, most of them, and I think it would be a great benefit as opposed to just a vacant piece of land. I'm sure there might be other uses, but like I said, the developers, they take care in what they build. They make it appealing, you know, to passerbys, and they make it available so that you can get, you know, service, and whether it's gasoline or coffee, 24 hours a day. And I think that they just done a great job from the projects that I have approved in the past while I was on the zoning board. So that's just the comment I'd like to say. That's it.
Thank you. Councilman Gephardt, is that leftover or is that a new one?
I had one more question for you, sir, for the traffic expert. It's been mentioned that we've talked about coffee shop, but It's my understanding there's integral to the building a drive-through window as well.
Correct.
When you evaluate these projects for traffic, what does the addition of the drive-through window add in terms of what you expect to see?
Yeah, so what they're proposing here is what they call a corner market cafe. And that's what they have at a few of the other stores. And we have done studies at two of the sites. One was in Smithfield and one was up in Scituate, just to see what kind of traffic it generates. And I can tell you the queuing of traffic at the drive-through, the number of customers is steady, but they never have more of a queue than I think three cars at one time in line. So it's not a big generator that has, you know, when you drive by Dunkin' Donuts, or I don't want to mention any of the names, but some that have queues that are out 15, 20 cars. They have, you know, their own brand that they're trying to go ahead and sell. And like I said, they do generate some traffic, but it's not a significant amount of traffic that causes any issues. And I think a lot of their customers, if they do come for the corner market store, are in the, similar to the gas station. They're in the traffic stream already. So it's not adding traffic to the traffic flow on the roadways.
Thank you for that. Just before we finish, I've gone through the packet. It looks like any site image that we have is probably the former site image. Do you have a current plan for the site itself?
I do have one copy.
I can end my questioning there, and I'll take a look at that off to the side.
Councilman Napa? Oh, right. So I do want to note that the traffic situation right there is somewhat similar to Hardig Road and the intersection of Centerville Road, where it's kind of a free-for-all right now. There's slightly more guidance than the other one I'm referencing, but not by much. So if I could just strongly encourage slash suggest for the applicant, if and when they go to the state, that they come up with a plan that actually provides guidance to motorists, because right now what I see most often as I pass there currently is people just don't know what to do. I'm glad there's not many accidents, but I'm guessing it's simply because people just freeze up and wait until there's a clearer shot. But it definitely needs something, even if this doesn't go forward. But if it does, I would even suggest it even more needs something than at that point, just something to address the traffic. I'm not a huge fan of being reliant on the state for this, but it doesn't really matter because it's a state road, so I don't have much of a choice. The hopeful news is that if this does go forward, it'll get them to address the things that they've been delaying on for Centerville Road, they being the state, because there's a number of traffic improvements that they have told us they're going to do and haven't done them yet. So it would be nice if this ended up being a domino that knocked the rest of them down. I will say too that this is not an entirely dissimilar project than where I've seen elsewhere on my ward. I have it in a few spots where a gas station is appended nearby residential. I'm glad in this particular case it's proposed where there's not really much. It's more businesses around it for the most part. And again, while I would prefer a different use here, I can't deny the fact that this is still less intense than the other options. And the less intense, the better, given the traffic situation. So as far as I'm concerned, it's the lesser of two evils. Councilman Gebhardt, I just saw that come up.
Just my last question, looking at the updated plan, which has, so there's two main entrance exits. Each are bidirectional. So you have ingress and egress at each of the two locations. Was there any consideration into just one only being in and one only being out, just to prevent the bidirectional?
We did think about that and look at that and consider it, but we think that, you know, you really should have two entrances in and out in case you miss one or whatever. But at the same time, we do feel that cars are heading westbound You know, we assume that 90% of the traffic is probably going to take a right turn in the first one. You know, so it is going to be heavy. The same thing on the way out, we think it's going to be on the other side. But for traffic flow, for truck traffic and everything else, we felt that two driveways need to be incorporated.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. A brief comment similar to other comments I've made where it's a matter of a proposed development. So there are a lot of hoops that developers are required and should be required to jump through when it comes to any sort of development of this nature. And so there is a significant process here between the planning board, zoning board, city council, the state, and in this case, even the federal government and requirements. And so sometimes when looking at the big picture there, sometimes it seems to folks that there should really be something of a centralized decision-making when it comes to things like this, because sometimes it almost feels like there already is with all of these various requirements. But times like that, I have to remind myself, go back to the United States Constitution, guarantees life, liberty, property. Property, especially real estate, we're not a company town here where a company is deciding exactly what goes where and makes an ultimate decision. Here in Warwick, like pretty much every other city and town incorporated across the entire country, people have ownership of real estate and, generally speaking, a wide degree of freedom as to what they do and don't want when it comes to building on it. If you were to ask 100 different people, what would be your vision for what would be the absolute most ideal use of that location, you might get 100 different responses. But it's really not a matter of us all getting together and deciding, you know what? I would rather there be an office building at that location, or I would rather that location be preserved exactly the way it is, or turned into a public park, or any of the other ideas that may be out there, many of which might be more popular. Because people own the real estate, and if they comply with all of these different requirements, well, that's what the law is, and that's why people have freedom in this country to use the real estate and build on it the way that they want to build within all of these different regulations and all of these different constraints that we have as a city, state, and country. So while a gas station might not be my favorite thing in the world, I'm not going to object to a gas station just because it's a gas station. People need to buy gas. People need to go to convenience stores. So that's my comment on this matter after hearing from public comment. It's not something where we are making the decision as to what goes on this property. It's us evaluating, has the applicant gone through and made sure to satisfy those different requirements that are being put on them at the city level? I think the answer to that is pretty clear at this point. Thank you.
Councilman Gebhardt. Any further questions? All right, seeing none. Do we have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All right, any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
9 yes, first passage.
Thank you very much.
All right, next up is PCO 9-26, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinances of the City of Warwick, 4332 Post Road, LLC, applicant 4332 Post Road, assessor's plat 221, lot 26. This is public properties. Councilman Ricks.
Committee recommends open public hearing.
So for action, Councilman Gephardt.
Move favorable. Move to open the public hearing.
Seconded by Councilman Lattiser. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? All right, so the public hearing stands open. If the applicant would like to start us off, please.
Mr. President, members of the Warwick City Council, my name is Sanford J. Resnick, and I represent the applicant in this matter. And the property is located at 4332 Post Road. The property appeared before the planning board, and we received 3 votes at that time. One vote was for some minor setbacks, which was the zoning approval. Another one was the master plan approval. And the last one was the recommendation to the City Council for approval of this matter. This property is zoned office, and the use that we're looking for is a permitted use, being a residential use. The request is for 7 units in 3 buildings. This required quite a bit of work between our engineer, DePreet Engineering, and Mr. Kravitz, and also with the fire marshal to come up with the plan that worked for everybody. This property, again, is zoned office. It is not in an historic district. We have a letter from the Rhode Island Historical, I get their last name, but a letter which, again, I'm sorry, it's from the Historical Preservation Heritage Commission, that the property is not on the registry. It doesn't require any historical surveys. And this is about putting some residences on a piece of property. The amount of available homes in Warwick, I actually looked at the number, under $1 million now. It's under 100 houses available. So this is unlike what's been going on Post Road, where there's hundreds of rentals, Jefferson Boulevard, another large amount of rentals. This is for home ownership. We need home ownership in this area. We received unanimous decision from the planning board on this. We have to go through some of the same things that the last applicant did. Because we have ingress and egress on Post Road, we have to get a physical alteration permit. We're going to have to deal with DEM. Actually, traffic itself never came up as an issue. But if we have to submit something to the state of Rhode Island Department of Transportation, we will. It's just the number of units is so negligible with the number of trips. Based upon the number of trips as compared to the traffic flow in that area is just a negligible number. So the issue actually never came up. At the hearing, I don't believe there was anybody at the hearing that actually objected to this. I may be wrong, but I don't recall. I have Dina Nesbitt, who is the engineer with DePreet here. I know you have a copy of the plans. If anybody wants to see a more detailed set, we can show you. If you have any questions of Dana, we'll be glad. Dana, We'd be glad to share those with you. Otherwise, we'll just open it up to questions and comments.
So is anyone here to speak in favor of the project? Is anyone here to speak in favor of the project? Is there anyone here to speak in favor of the project? Is there anyone here to speak against the project? Go on up, Miss